Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. 7, verse 1. We're going to be doing this whole chapter today. Are y'all cold, hot? Okay, never mind. I don't know why I asked that question. I'm going to get 50 different answers. All right. Verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck or the sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take out the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Let me just stop there. We're going to go through this whole chapter. We're going to take it in segments. We're going to do some teaching today, not just preaching. It tells us to not judge. Now, how many know the world throws that at us as Christians all the time? Don't judge me. Don't judge me. What, right? Y'all've all said it. I've said it. The world says it. I don't think that's what this means. This is not talking about seeing whether somebody is lost living in the world or a Christian trying to live a life and the church world is picking them apart. Two different things. See, this says, do not judge or you'll be judged too. Let me explain what that means in just a moment. For in the same way that you judge, others will judge you. You know what that's called? Reaping and sowing. You're going to reap what you sow. So if you're always yeah on somebody, guess what? That's what people are going to, you may not know it, but behind your back, they're yeah and you. So let me explain what judging is and what judging is not. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. He didn't tell us we weren't supposed to be fruit inspectors, but he did tell us not to judge. How many know there's a difference? In other words, if me and you are Christians, there should be something hanging off of our limbs called fruit, right? Fruit. We should have fruit in our lives that people can look and say, you know what? They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. See, the Bible never said me and you are perfect. The Bible never said we're going to be perfect. Matter of fact, it said right the opposite. It said that's the reason why we got a Savior, because me and you can't be perfect. We can't keep everything right and perfect. Why? Because we live in this flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you have to sin, because you don't. Hello? Amen. You don't have to sin. Right. The Bible says that you've been freed from that. That nature is no longer your nature. So you don't have to sin. That doesn't mean you're not going to, but it means you don't have to. How many of you believe you can go 5 minutes without sinning?
Yes.
See, I just proved it.
Yes.
I just proved it. You don't have to sin. Because most of you said, I can go 5 minutes. Right? I'm not going to go to the 10, because that might be stretching some of us. But the truth is, if we stack 1 5-minute on top of another 5 minutes, guess what? We can walk without sinning in life. Now, by the way, what is sin anyway? Can anybody tell me? Anything that disobedience to God. That's basically what. It's not a list. Now, you know what we do have? We all got a list. And we carry it around. And we look at that list when we're looking at people. They forget. Oh, they got a list on me too. So when the Bible's talking about judge not, how many know Jesus is the standard?
Yes.
If we could just get this in the church world, it would be great. See, we're so busy beating up on each other. We're so busy hitting on people that are not of our persuasion. They're not Baptist, Methodist, Charismatic. They're not Pentecostal. They're not Assembly of God. They're not Church of Christ. We start hammering on each other and we start judging because based upon the fact that you ain't walking like I'm walking, there's something wrong with you. And it's the truth. How many of you know that? We're no different. We do the same thing. We look at other people. You know what we need to do? We need to stop doing that. We need to stop judging people and start helping people. I'm going to show you in just a minute. See, we just look at that and think, oh, that was just Jesus telling us to stop acting like heathens. No, he was telling us to start acting like the body. That's what he was telling us. He wasn't telling us, don't act like heathens or the church. I mean, not heathens, but to act like the church. He said, do not judge or you will be judged. Who's going to be judging us? And everybody else. For in the same measure that you, the same way you judge, it will be judged. The same measure. All right, how many of you have ever baked anything? Baked. Okay, cook something. All right. And you know what? You got to get a measuring cup out. Yeah. And you got to measure everything. All right. And you pour it in precise measures. Some of you are already in trouble. I want you to just know this. Based upon this equation that I'm saying, some of us are already in trouble. We can dip in that thing and say, okay, there's that measure of flour. Now, let's move over here to the judging part. We start dipping in the judgment, and we start, well, they deserve a little more than that. They deserve a little more than that. Boy, you know what? If a little bit of sin is, we just need to judge them for a whole bunch. You understand something? That's exactly what's going to happen to you. With the exact same cup that you're measuring others, same ruler that you're judging others and whether they stack up or not, is the same exact ruler that's used on me and you. With the exact same ruler. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be judged by that way. I want to be judged by his standard, not my standard. So if I want to be judged by his standard and not my standard, I got to start acting like him. See, Jesus had the ability to judge everybody. Did he not? And what did he look at people when he would say, so that you know that the Son of Man has power to forgive, take up your bed, rise and walk. That's the way he judged. Let me help you out of your situation. Let me help you. And that's how he judged. By giving the kingdom of God into people's life. That's how he judged. He judged by giving them kingdom principles. Kingdom living. Kingdom rewards. That's the way he judged. So guess what? That's the way I want to be judged. I want to use that kind of cup. Kingdom cup. Can everybody say that with me? Kingdom cup. Not a worldly cup, but a kingdom cup. So we want to be used with a... We want that same measuring used on us. Then he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust? Have you ever got a piece of something in your eye and you're trying to focus? Yeah. You ever done that? Yeah. You can't, your eyes all watering up. And then if you didn't get it out later that day, it's all matted up and it's nasty. He's saying here, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to one in your own eye? You got that junk running out of both corners of your eyes, and you're kind of like this, you can't hardly see, and you're saying, let me help you get that out of your life. And just think about it for a minute. How many of you ever worked around cedar? Cut cedar, and you get some of that piece of cedar, you either get a splinter in your hand or in your eye. Cedar burns worse than others do. It just does. And you get that stuff in your eye, next thing you know, you can't see diddly. By the way, I can't see hardly very good when I turn my glasses off anyway. Let me tell you, somebody that's almost lost an eye, somebody that got to where I couldn't see, somebody that actually has been blind for a short period of time when I like to lost this eye about 8 years ago. Let me just tell you, it changes everything when we realize, whoa, the way I see is huge. It's changed the way I have to see life now. I have to walk around with glasses. Matter of fact, this one, you're all just a blur. I got a plastic buckle around this eye because I had a hole in the side of it. They had to do an operation on it. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is it made me realize how absolutely crucial the ability to see is. Now let me just say this. Let's take that from the natural to the spiritual. Do you realize how absolutely crucial it is to be able to see spiritually? See, he's not talking about naturally. He's talking about how come we can see the sin in everybody else's life? We can't see the sin in our own life. How we can judge others the way they walk, but we can't seem to walk right either. Hello? Let me just say this. You know, you may not be out running little old ladies over with your car. But I assure you, there's things in your life that need cleaning up. My point in today is, what speck? That's the name of my message today, what speck? Because most of us are going, I ain't got no speck in my eye. I want you to know I'm doing better than everybody else. You know, Scripture says that when we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we're without understanding. But you know what most people go to doing when they start justifying? Well, I'm better than so-and-so. At least I didn't such-and-such. Well, you know, it's not my fault. It's their fault. Well, it's quiet in here, isn't it? It's that woman you gave me. Or it's that man you gave me. And then God may be going, wait a minute, don't blame me for it. That was all on you. It wasn't very funny, was it? But let me just pay attention here. He says, pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. What is he trying to tell us today? Because I don't think he's talking about wood, and I don't think he's talking about dust, and I don't think he's talking about things that we so commonly want to go to. And I say, I think he's saying, I really do want y'all to look inward. What's going on the inside of you? Do you love to come spend time with me? Do you love to come bow before me and worship and allow me to bring my presence into your life? Because see, once you get to the place where that's what you love. This morning I told Jeremy when I first got here, I said, I'm just going to go in my office and worship a while. Hopefully I won't bother you, but I'm going to crank it up. You know why I wanted to crank it up? I don't want any distractions. See, too often we allow distractions in our life. What's going on in somebody else's life instead of looking at mine?
Right, exactly.
We just learn to look inward, homeward bound. How many know that every time you point a finger at somebody, there's three pointing back at you?
Right.
We forget that one, don't we? He's saying, what Jesus is trying to tell us is, he's not trying to tell us that we need to follow a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. Actually, he's telling us right the opposite. He's saying, I want you to have a relationship with me. And you can't have a relationship with me acting that way. You can't have a relationship with me if you're always looking at how somebody else isn't stacking up. Because the reason why I came and died, because nobody stacks up. Nobody. So if nobody stacks up, then why are we judging each other? If you look at me, everybody, if you see somebody you truly, honestly believe that they're not living the Christian life, then you should be loving them enough to love out, to reach out in love and try to help them in their life.
Yes.
Not judging them. How many know that the judge is going to judge everybody? Okay? So you don't have to worry about people not getting judged. They're going to get judged. You just need to know that you don't want to be the one judging. That's acting like Satan. Because Satan said, you know what I think I'll do? I'll exalt my throne above the Most High. I'll be like God. Let me just tell you, when you start judging, you know what you're saying? I'll be like God. I'll be like God. Who? But you really want to operate there? I can just see God going, "Pfft!" That one's gone. A little smoke. You know, you see those cartoons, you know, and something happens and all of a sudden they just, poof, there's a puff of smoke and they're gone. Do you realize that's what God could do to you if he found out you were trying to act in his place? Or me in his place? No, he doesn't want us doing that. So why do we do it? I get mad at my wife and judge her. You're supposed to act like a better wife than that. Don't act like you know what I'm talking about. She does it to me too. you do it to yours. Why do we do it though? Because we're in this stinking flesh. Isn't that true? Why do we look at others with disdain? Because we live in this stinking flesh. That means we got stinking thinking instead of kingdom thinking. Everybody look at me. When you realize kingdom living says, I don't have the right to choose who I will love and who I won't love. I don't have the right to choose who I'll like and who I won't like. I don't have the right to say, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell. Amen. So why do we do it? Because I don't think we've gone far enough in our regeneration process. See, he said that we get born again. Then he said, let this mind be in you. You have the mind of Christ. So how do we get there? We got to learn to operate in that realm. We're so used to operating in the fleshly realm that now we got to learn to operate in the spiritual realm. I am a spiritual creature having a natural encounter. I'm not a natural creature having a spiritual encounter. Y'all going to get that yet. Why? Because I want us to focus on the fact that we're spiritual creatures. Yes, this is my vehicle, how I get around, but this is not who I am. That's why when you look at being prejudiced, whether it be racial as far as our color, whether it be religion as far as where somebody goes, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know why? I bet you not all of us in here drive the same color car. Does that mean you're all jacked up because you don't have the same color car I got? Huh? By the way, I live in a brown house. What color is your house? You see how stupid that is? I have some LED lights in my house and some fluorescent lights in my house, and I have some incandescent lights in my house. That means I don't know which way I want to go. See, this is my house. I'm inside looking out these two windows. See, Jesus is trying. I don't have all day to go through this whole chapter, but this passage of Scripture, he's trying to tell us, I want y'all to act like me, not act like you. Amen. So when we look here, he says, don't give dogs what is sacred. What's he saying? You know, when you're talking to somebody, you can tell if they're at a place in their life. See, if we're led by the Holy Spirit, have you ever tried to witness to somebody or give a word of God to somebody, you know, a spiritual nugget, and they're like, you real quick, no, that ain't going nowhere. That's what he's talking about. Don't try to give those nuggets, those truths to somebody. Now, he calls them swines here. I won't go into the time that my wife and me were at my brother's house, and we were trying to talk to him, and my wife looked at me and said, don't cast your pearls before swine. It's okay, baby. He was all right. He was. He is. But you don't tell them they are, right? My point in all that is why do we do the things that we do? Well, you know what? I've learned this too. Everybody look at me. Sometimes we're young Christians, and we do things as young Christians. It's what? And we don't know no better. I'm being honest. And as we grow, we get a little more maturity, and we guess what? We act a little different a little later in life. And then we get to where we're older Christians. We should be knowing the rights and wrongs, the do's and the don'ts. So my point in all of us, and we look around the room. Everybody look, just kind of look around the room. Look around the room, y'all. It's what you see, all kinds of people from all walks of life, all at different places in their walk with God. Some are brand new Christians. Some have been Christians a long time. But you know what happens? Everybody look at me again. You know what we do? People come and we get mad at people in the church. Just like we get mad at people in our families, right? First thing we want to do is say, won't you get rid of them, Pastor? Now, that's not what people actually say. What they say is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about that, Pastor? I don't know. What do you want me to do? But, you know, you need to do something. Why? They're evil, right? We need to excommunicate him from the church, right? And then somebody looked and said, well, I don't know about that. Well, what are you saying? Are you saying they made a mistake? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. My point in all this is, should we treat everybody like we want to lop a head off? Or should we look at people and say, you know what? I think I'm going to show grace here. Because for the same reason, that doesn't mean we don't confront issues. Listen to me. That doesn't mean we don't deal with issues. But we do it in a godly, gracious manner. Amen. Not in a way where I don't like you. I don't like you. Aaron, I don't like you. Because I don't like you, I'm going to treat you different. Where did that come from? Can somebody show me that scripture? It's not there. Let me give everybody a little quick lesson about people. Jesus came and died for all people. A-L-L. And we do not have the right to look and decide that one day I'm going to choose who I like and I don't like. If somebody's in your life, it's because God put them there. Amen. Hello? Amen. And if He put them there, that means He wants something to happen in your life. He wants something to happen in their life. Just maybe, you're that moment that they meet God. But I don't like them.
Don't matter.
We don't jee-haw. For those that don't know what that means, I figured y'all would know what that means. This is a redneck. And this is a redneck country. Jee-haw is when they'd plow in the ground with a mule, and that was the language. They didn't communicate like the mule and the plower didn't operate, and they didn't communicate like they were supposed to, so there was a problem in communication. So that's what that means. I can't think of a newer one. Or maybe it's just the fact that we don't want, anyway, but it says here, don't give your dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls before pigs. If you do, they will trample them underfoot and then turn and tear you to pieces. In other words, realize and know that there's moments that the Holy Spirit opens the door. There's moments He don't. And if He's opened the door, be prepared and ready to walk through it. If He doesn't open it, don't you try to open it yourself. That's all that means. Now, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door is open. What part of that's vague? None. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened. All these are action words, by the way. This is what most of us do. I'm waiting, God. And then a year later, Lord, I'm waiting. How many times have you read your Bible this year? Read my Bible? I don't have time for all that. That's not give read that. It's boring. I can't read very well anyway. I don't like reading. Oh, since I don't like reading, God don't care. It's all right. Oh, y'all looking at me? Y'all wait with me? So he said, knock. Hurry up, God. Hello? Hurry up, God. Seek. I just had to wait a little longer for it to fall right here in my lap. Just how ridiculous that is. You know what? As a pastor, I've learned that most people don't seek. Most people don't knock. Most people don't ask. Most people gripe, complain, and fuss. Why? Because they don't want to do nothing. See, it's the Word in us that makes a difference. It's not the Word in a book on a shelf. Well, that's the Holy Bible that keeps my house safe. How does it keep your house safe? Because I put it on a shelf. It says right there, Holy Bible. Let me just tell you, that's a book like any other book. It's not a holy book until you take it and put it in your heart. Amen. It's not going to make a difference in your circumstance till you take it out and put it in here. Just because you park yourself in the garage doesn't make you a car. Right. So just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you carry your Bible up on your arm every time you come here and make everybody think you read it, doesn't mean you do. I'm not trying to judge. I'm trying to tell you where the problem lies in our life. God's saying, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. Ask and it'll be given. See, he said, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. You ever played hide and go seek? Anybody in here? Everybody has. Have you been? Guess what? You know what you got to do? You got to get up off your tail and go find them. God's saying, have you ever felt like God was hiding from you? Everybody look at me. Don't get all... You ever felt like God was hiding from you? Everybody?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to give you a little scenario. How many of you ever played hide and go seek with your children? And look, you know what you did? You went over by the curtain and you hung and you left your feet sticking out on purpose. That's like God. Hear me. God will hide from us. But he don't hide so far that we can't find him. He's like daddy or mama playing hide and go seek with kids. Puts his feet out from underneath the curtain so you can find him. Why does mom and daddy put their feet out from underneath the curtain? So the children will find him. See, the whole point is the whole process. Look at me, everybody. It's the process of finding God. It's the process of interacting with him. It's not about just going to church, hearing a few people preach a message, and it's all over. It's about the process of learning to know him, becoming close to him, playing the game with him. What game? Hide and go seek? When you feel like you can't find God, you're looking in the wrong place. Because he's hiding in plain sight. Because he wants you to find him. That's good preaching. I don't care what anybody says. So he says, if you'll knock, it'll be open. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone. Everyone asks receives. Problem is, we're asking for something, and he's given something else. I didn't get what I was looking for. Am I making any sense to anybody today? Let me just hurry up. I've got to get down to this part. Which of you, with his son, asked for bread, will give him a stone? Apparently, Jesus wasn't living in this day. Or if he asked for a fish, we'll give him a snake. Unfortunately, I've met a few people in life that they were like that. Thank God they're not that many, but there are some. If then, though you are evil, oh, by the way, he's saying, even though you do that, you give it to them, the good stuff, you're still evil. All of us are evil. Children, look at me. You're born evil. No, I wasn't, Pastor. I was born good. No, you wasn't. I can prove it. I can take two children, put them in the middle of the room, and give them one toy. They'll show you how evil they are.
Amen.
Right? Now, parents, whether you like it or not, they've been given to you to teach and train them in the ways of God. All right, so, but you being evil, that means all of us, without Christ, we're evil. We are in a fallen state. Know how to give those good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Good gifts. What is a good gift? Through the Spirit. The wisdom and the knowledge to walk through this life in a way that brings glory and honor to his name. Good gifts are being able to see past the natural to the spiritual side of what's going on in life. These are the gifts that God gives. He said, if you'll ask, I'll give it to you. Look at me, everybody. If you're not seeing it, if you're not seeing those spiritual sides of life, it's because you've not asked God for those kind of gifts and ability to see because you don't want to see. Because that might make you accountable. And if you become accountable, then God's going to hold you to that account. Hello. God expects you to walk in the level that you've been given.
Yes.
Well, I want to be a three-year-old. I don't. I never liked anybody changing my diaper. I've always wanted to take care of myself. That's my problem. I need God to take care of me. Then he says, get good intent. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. We like that one, don't we? We like to use it on people. You know, the Bible says, do unto others. You'd have them do unto you. So you need to pay attention when you're doing that to me. Right? We're good to throw that one out there. We forget that goes both ways, don't it? Treat others as you'd have them treat you. Look at others as you'd have them look at you. Judge others as you'd have them judge you. Speak love as you'd have them. So, he says that. He says, and if you do this, that sums up all the law of the prophet. Now, verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. Everybody look at me. Anybody told you that getting to heaven was easy? Lied to you. It's not easy. The hardest thing you're ever going to do. It's going to be the most rewarding thing you've ever done. Because you know what? It's hard to surrender completely. And you're not getting to heaven till you surrender completely. Wait a minute, Pastor. I prayed that prayer. I got my piece of paper. They told me that day I was going to heaven. They can't tell you you're going to heaven. Hear me. They can't tell you you're going to heaven. They don't know. They're not in your heart. See, he didn't say, if you'll just come to me and not want to go to hell, then I'll fix it where you can go to heaven. You can live like hell all you want, but I'll still get you to heaven because you got this piece of paper. I know on the third day of March, 1660, that was a joke, that you prayed that prayer, so therefore you're going to heaven. No, if you didn't ask Jesus to be everything, if you didn't ask him to be Lord, if you didn't ask him to take over, if you didn't ask him to have his way in you, then guess what? You didn't get saved. All you got was deceived. But once we turn it all over to him, guess what? Then we can know that we're going to heaven. Then we can know, because guess what? We, as it says here, we'll be walking on the narrow road. It says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. You know how you know where you're going the right way? Because when you look this way and you look behind you and there's only a few people following you, and you look over there and most of them are going that direction. They're going to hell. The road that leads to heaven, we all know this is not very big. Is it? Let's be honest. How many of us are just surrounded by so many friends that are Christians that we don't have room for all of them? We're surrounded by people that are in the world. Boy, I can tell you, y'all, this message is going over like a lead rock. All right. He says, only if you, I'm going to move on down. Watch out, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravishing wolves. How many of you know that there's a lot of people in the modern day Christendom, they stand up and proclaim to be God's man, God's woman, and they tell us that if we'll do this, we'll do that, then we'll have the 15 keys to prosperity. Right? We'll have the 15 keys to living on Knob Hill. Isn't that true? Or that they teach us sloppy agape, cheap grace, grace that's so cheap that nobody wants it. See, true grace is not that cheap. True grace is, guess what? It's very costly. It costs so much that Jesus died for it. And because it's so pure and precious, the last thing we'd want to do is treat it as its commonplace thing. So, true grace is not like that. So he says, they come in sheep's clothing, the ravishing wolves, but the fruit, by the fruit you'll recognize them. Let me ask you a question. Whether it's me preaching here, by the way, I heard Art did a good job Wednesday. Anybody that's preaching here, they do it very often. Guess what? We're going to know who they are because we're going to see what's coming out of their heart. Their fruit is going to show up. If all I ever preach is one thing, then that tells you who I am on the inside. That's what my heart is seeking after. If that's what all comes out of my mouth, or if that's what all comes out of Art's mouth, or if that's what comes out of your mouth, people will know you because that's what's coming out of your mouth. They'll know you by their fruits. So let me ask you a question. When you look around the world today, are you following false prophets? I'm not talking about me. I know I'm not a false prophet. You know I know? I preach the whole word of God, the good and the bad, the pretty and the ugly. Because it's all part of it. But he says here, by the fruits you'll recognize him. Do people pick grapes from bramble bush? No. Do people pick grapes from bramble bushes? No. Or figs from thistles? No. Matter of fact, most of us in here probably don't even know what a fig tastes like. Likewise, good trees bear good fruit, and bad trees bear bad fruit. What is bad? Well, for some of us, sugar's bad. For all of us, too much sugar's bad. So anytime that you're receiving a word, a gospel word, if all you're getting sugar, you need to understand, sooner or later, you're going to be diabetic. Amen. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to tell the truth. Amen. We have to take the whole Word of God. And the whole Word of God says, guess what? I need to know that I need to quit judging and realize that I need to love people. Second, I need to realize that people can see who I am. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Thus, their fruit, by their fruit you'll recognize him. Not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter into my kingdom. I'm going to stop there. Today, the whole point of my message was, let's quit worrying about everybody else's speck. I worry about what's in my life. If I worry about what's in my life, you know what? Yesterday and this week, as I was seeking God, I just wasn't getting it. Over and over and over again, I wasn't getting anything. You know what I kept getting? Judge not, lest you be judged. I didn't even know the passage of Scripture. Just over and over again. So I finally went and looked it up, and I started reading this, and that's what God wanted me to preach today. Why? Because I think God wants me and you to love people in such a way that we mimic him.
Yes.
And see, what did he do to Mary when they brought her out, the woman that was caught in adultery? They all wanted to stone her, right? And what did he say? He said, you, that's without sin, would you throw that first stone? I'll let you. Wasn't he full of wisdom? Then he looked at her after they were all gone, and he said, where are your accusers now? Why? Everybody else has got sin in their life. There's nobody left to judge her except for him. He's still there because he had the ability to cast a stone. That's why he didn't run off. But he looked at her and he said, neither do I accuse you. But he said something very unique. He said, go and sin no more. Go and act like God. Go and stop being a child of the world and start being a child of the kingdom.
Amen.
So today, my whole question is, what is it that governs your life? What is it that calls you out of the darkness to the light? And when you're dealing with people, do you find yourself judging? Or do you find yourself willing to forgive? Do you find yourself loving people right where they're at? Let's all stand to our feet. In life, we wrestle with the things that God says to us. Today, I realize this is not a fluffy, feel-good message. I know that I didn't tell you I was going to get a vacation on a South Beach somewhere in the Bahamas. What I told you was that God expects us to act like Him. He expects our nature to look like His nature. He expects us to react like He'd react. But He also expects us to walk in what He's given us. We have victory today. Victory. God has given us the ability to be free. He's given us the ability to know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That when God be for me, there's no one, no power in hell can be against me. Today, just bow your head for a moment. Maybe you're here today and you want more out of your life. You're tired of going through the motions. You're tired of feeling like, you know what? I get out my Bible every now and then and read it. But I realize it's not enough. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I really do want more out of life than what I've got. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want you to raise your hand. If you don't know Him, today would be a good day for that to happen. Thank you, Lord. But maybe you're here today and you just want more out of life. You want more out of your relationship with God. If you're here today and you want more out of your relationship with God, you want a more intimate relationship, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can put them down. Thank you. I get a prayer team to come up. See, these passages of Scripture, they're not about being judgmental or preaching a hellfire and brimstone message. This is a message about grace. If we can learn to walk in that grace, learn to walk in the fullness of who He made us to be, that life will become so much easier. When we learn to forgive, you know, there's sometimes in life it's hard to forgive, isn't it? But God said if we'd forgive, that He'd forgive. Today, if you need breakthrough, I'm encouraging you to come up here. We're going to pray with you. I'm encouraging you to find that place in your life that maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you need to let somebody go. Maybe you need to realize that, guess what? God's got a different plan for your life. And maybe what you had planned for your life. Whatever the need is, we want to pray with you. So I encourage you to come. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You that today, as Jesus taught that message thousands of years ago, God, that He spoke to us. And God, we want to use the measuring cup that You use. God, we want to see people the way You see them. God, we want to see ourselves the way You see us. So, Lord, I'm asking for You to stir the hearts of each and every person here today. God, that we would say, Lord, here am I. Do a work in me. That I yield to You. I ask You to have Your way in me. If that's you and you want any of those things, I encourage you to just step out right now where you're at.